You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to The Punt. A crucial week of Premier League football with four games taking place through the week. Crucial in terms of the top four places and who stays and goes from the Premier League. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well. I'm very well indeed. I'm looking forward to the midweek action as per usual in the Premier League and particularly that game on Tuesday night between West Ham and Manchester United. But yeah, it's going to be tense, exciting, and I'm energised and ready to go, Mr. Walton.
You haven't mentioned the one thing that everybody is mentioning about Tuesday night's game. It's the last ever game at the Bowling Ground, David.
It is indeed, and that's huge for West Ham because they've been there for many, many years now, and it's almost like a rite of passage for West Ham fans to drink in the local pubs and get a burger at the Burger Van and then go and watch West Ham at the Bowling Ground. But from next season onwards, they've relocated to Stratford and they'll be playing in the Olympic Stadium. The pinnacle of the 2012 Olympic Games was all the events in that stadium. And yeah, it's going to be very, very different for West Ham in the future.
It is. Let's look ahead to the Swan Song match then at the stadium. West Ham against Manchester United. West Ham 11-5. The draw is 11-5 as well. Man United are 13-10. Dimitri Payet to score in a West Ham win is 6-1 from 9-2 on the enhanced odds market. And Wayne Rooney to score in a Man United win is 4-1, having been 16-5. West Ham sit 7th in the league, Dave. Could still get a Europa League place depending on who wins the FA Cup and so on and so forth. Manchester United still bidding for that top four spot, and it is in their hands. If they win their last two games, they will be in the Champions League next season. So do they win here on Tuesday night?
I think so. A lot of people have been saying that West Ham have a big price here to win this game at 11-5, but I'm not so sure. It's a similar scenario to when Manchester United played them early on in the season in the FA Cup at the Bowling Ground, and everyone thought West Ham, yeah, huge price, flying at the moment, West Ham. But Manchester United managed to neutralise their main threats. And I think they could do the same thing again on Tuesday night. Andy Carroll was anonymous in that game. And if you've got someone of the stature of Chris Smalling going man on man against Andy Carroll, I think that can work in Manchester United's benefit here. And West Ham were just so disappointing at the weekend. A real chance to still have a shot at a top four place, and they blew it with that performance against Swansea, being beaten 4-1 by Swansea. And Swansea, remember, were without Ashley Williams, who has been a colossus for them this season, and also without Gylfi Sigurdsson, who is their primary goal scorer and creator as well. So that was a very, very disappointing performance to be beaten by 4-1. And I understand the theory behind people saying the last ever game at the Bowling Ground, energised atmosphere, should be a superb occasion. West Ham will want to go out victorious. But Manchester United need to win this game as well.
Yeah.
And the atmosphere doesn't just work one way. I think Manchester United's players will be inspired by playing in that cauldron on Tuesday night as well. And even though the doubt about Anthony Martial slightly tempers my enthusiasm, because he's even at this tender age, been almost a leader for Manchester United in the second half of the season. Even without him, I think they've got a strong enough team to see off West Ham. And I think they'll do what they always do, Manchester United, or seemingly always do when they win. And they'll win an under 2.5 goals. I think Manchester United will grind out a 1 or 2 nil win in this game.
Yeah. I'm in agreement as well, because West Ham obviously started the season really well. They've had a really great season, don't get me wrong, but their form has become real patchy at the end of the season. Mm. Last five games have won 2, lost 2, drawn 1. It's kind of just fallen apart at the wrong end of the season for them, whereas Manchester United, they are in good form. I know they're not playing brilliant football, although it is slightly better than it was earlier on in the season. Only one defeat in their last 11 games. They've won 7 of those games.
Yeah.
And they've also won 4 of the last 5 on the road. You mentioned the under 2.5 goals. That's landed in 5 games of their last 8. The reason I say 8 is because over 2.5 has landed in all 8 of West Ham's previous games. So I was kind of weighing it up, which will reign supreme, if you like. And I think Man United are more capable of stifling West Ham than West Ham running right over Manchester United, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. And you, not many people take head-to-heads at this stage of the season into account, but Manchester United have an incredible record against West Ham. Love playing against them. They've won 11 and drawn 3 of their last 14 Premier League matches against West Ham. And you look at that stat and think, that's huge in the context of this game. And West Ham have failed to score in 8 of their last 13 matches in the Premier League against Manchester United as well, which lends weight to the Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals. And it's a big price as well, 17-5. You'd expect Marcus Rashford to come back in. He was almost inexplicably rested at the weekend. And Paul Scholes ranted about that for a good 5 minutes on BT Sport. And John Hartson, I think it was. Oh no, Chris Sutton questioned the decision as well on BT Sport. And Daley Blind, who's played a lot of football recently, he was rested as well. So expect him to come back in to form that partnership with Chris Smalling. Michael Carrick sitting in front of the back four to offer protection against Manuel Lanzini and Dimitri Payet. And if that happens, I think Marcus Rojo will go back to left back. So they'll be solid Manchester United on Tuesday night, and I think they'll win 1 or 2-0.
Yeah, you mentioned the head-to-heads there as well. West Ham haven't beaten Manchester United since 2010. That was a League Cup success. They haven't beaten them in the league since 2007. Mm. So it's knocking on for 10 years nearly since they last beat Manchester United in the league.
Yeah, and that's why I think 11-5 is short enough. I expect Manchester United, we're recording this on Monday afternoon, I think in the lead up to the match, they will be hammered in the betting. I think Manchester United will get shorter than the 13-10 we are quoting now. Wayne Rooney to score, Manchester United to win. Don't like that. He's looking more slow with every week that passes, Wayne Rooney, and more ponderous. I know he set up Juan Mata's goal at the weekend and led the line pretty well, but I reckon there's a strong chance that he will drop back into the midfield for this game.
Yeah.
And Marcus Rashford will retain that spot or the head of affairs, leading the line. So yeah, I'm not particularly taken by the Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win, but I am taken by that 17-5 on Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals in the game.
I suppose if you just wanted, would you take a chance on the 17-5, or would you just put Manchester United at 13-10? He's not a bad price on his own.
It's a good price. Yeah. So if you want to be more cautious, that 13-10. But I'd be more adventurous here and take the 17-5 on Manchester United and under 2.5, in all honesty, because I think they'll win 1 or 2.
All right.
To nil.
Yeah. I won't mention West Ham goal scorers then. I was going to mention your old pal, Mark Noble.
Yeah.
You went for the affairs of Mark Noble for England, didn't you?
I did. I was beating that drum on the Pump podcast, and I still get a tweet from a guy called, I think he's called Joe on Twitter, who every time Mark Noble does something wrong, he gets stuck into me. And when Mark Noble, obviously he was in the team at the weekend when they were beaten 4-1, and he had some fun with me saying, oh, Mark Noble's in Key's pocket, because obviously he did the damage for Swansea at the weekend. So yeah, I think maybe it's the right decision, Mark Noble not being taken to the Euros, but I still rate him, and he has had a terrific season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's
got fantastic.
He's got 4 in his last 3 as well.
So if you are, listen, I wouldn't play him as a goal scorer bet, in all honesty, because that's not his usual modus operandi. He's more of a stalwart in midfield, one of those guys that's going to break up play and allow the flair players like Dimitri Payet and Manuel Lanzini to get on the ball and provide for Andy Carroll to fire home. But I think it's going to be tough, this game, for West Ham. And even though I agree with a lot of people about the atmosphere, I think that works both ways. And that devastating 4-1 loss to Swansea, I think they'll still feel the effects on Tuesday night.
Let's move on to Wednesday night's games then. We'll start with the crucial game in terms of the relegation battle, as Sunderland host Everton. Sunderland 17th in the table. They are 8-11 to win this game. It's 5-2 for the draw. Everton are 4-1. A win guarantees safety for Sunderland and consigns rivals Newcastle to the Championship next season, which would obviously make it a little bit sweeter for Sunderland. And Everton, they're on a beach, aren't they, Dave? So the only thing that puts me off here is the price. 8 to 11. Could you possibly back Sunderland at 8 to 11 any time?
I think it's the worst price of the season, this. I think that 8 to 11 is just an absolute stinker. Even if you're almost convinced Sunderland are going to win this game and relegate Newcastle at the Stadium of Light on Wednesday, you can't back it at 8 to 11. Let's put these prices into context here. Sunderland are significantly shorter than Leicester were at the weekend. Leicester at the King Power, champions at home to Everton. I mentioned this on the punt. They were 10 to 11. Sunderland at home to Everton, 4 days later, and they're 8 to 11. It can't be right, can it?
It can't be right.
It just doesn't... I know Everton have been bad, admittedly, and they were beaten 3-1 by Leicester at the weekend, but there's still talent in the side, and Roberto Martinez needs his players to perform. If he's going to stand any chance at all of retaining his place as Everton boss next season, they need to get something from these final two games. And 4-1 for a team with their talent has to be backed. Everton hammered Sunderland back in early November in the reverse fixture, won 6-2. Only had 8 shots on target but scored 6 times. Who would have thought in November we'd be sitting here a few months later and it'd be 8-11 Sunderland to win this game? They have only lost one of their last 9 in the Premier League, winning 2 and drawing 6. They have drawn 6 of their last 9. So the draw's a definite runner here at 5-2. And if you want to take the... I've got to back Everton to win it at 4-1. Just purely based on price, I think it's too big. But if you want to be slightly more reserved and you don't want to take either team to win or the draw in this game, I think there's good bets elsewhere. I love the over 3.5 goals in this game at 2-1. I think that's a cracking price. Of course, Sunderland coming off the back of that wonderful win at the Stadium of Light against Chelsea at the weekend, where they won 3-2. And Everton just concede goals for fun. They've been a bit embarrassing throughout the last 8 weeks, really, Everton. So I think over 3.5 goals at 2-1. I'm sure this is going to be fiery. And it's going to be a great spectacle on Wednesday night, this game. But and Jermaine Defoe to score. Take the outright out of it. It's 8-11 Sunderland to win. If they're going to win this game, I think that man's going to get on the score sheet. He's 19-20 to score in this game, Jermaine Defoe. Been sensational for Sunderland. He's one of the main reasons why they are, in my opinion, going to survive now. He's scored in his last couple of starts against Everton for Sunderland as well. Got 5 in his last 8, 15 Premier League goals this season. So Jermaine Defoe to score, but Sunderland not to win. 19-20 Jermaine Defoe to score in the game. But you've got to back Everton at 4-1 just based purely on price. It's too big.
Jermaine Defoe to score in a Sunderland win, by the way, is one of the enhanced odds here. 2-1.
Yeah.
Out from 6-4. I can't back Everton either here because only one win in their last 9 games.
Yeah.
They've had 3 defeats and 2 draws in their last 5 on the road as well, so they're not travelling well either. I read a stat, I was trying to find it, that's why I was just on my phone there, Dev, for a second, but I read a stat a minute ago, and it was, I can't find it now, but it's something along the lines of only 3 of Everton's victories this season have come against teams out of the bottom 5, or something remarkable like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, that is right. They've picked up barely any points against those teams, but Sunderland are one of those teams, aren't they?
Yeah,
in the bottom five. Yeah. I mean, this is the sort of game where if Everton are going to produce, Everton draw no bet is 12-5 in this game. I think the prices are completely wrong based on. I thought Leicester were too big at the weekend, but based on those Leicester prices, these are way out, in my opinion. I wouldn't back Sunderland at 11-10 to win this game, so I'm not going to advise anyone to back them at 8-11.
No,
and if they win, it's one of those where you've missed out, but you've not missed out, if you know what I'm saying. You've missed out, but you're not going to lose sleep over not backing Sunderland at 8-11 to win a Premier League game under any circumstance.
No, I suppose not. I might take you on here, though, Dave.
Okay.
Sunderland's home form is very good, as you'd expect under Sam Allardyce. It's the kind of thing he does when he comes in and takes over a team. He makes them very hard to beat at home. Only 2 defeats since the turn of the year, which is pretty good home form in anyone's book. And the only team they've lost to in the last 9 games was Leicester, who were going for the title. You can excuse that. You mentioned there's a lot of draws in there, Dave. So yeah. I just wonder whether the draw might be the one after all. 5-2 for the draw. Sunderland are too short. I can't trust Everton.
Yeah, yeah.
Go for the draw.
Yeah, I wouldn't put you off the draw. I just want a pro Everton bet at the prices. So I suppose if you take all those, everything we've said into consideration, Everton plus one is odds against at 11-10. I'd much rather have Everton plus one than Sunderland at 8-11.
I'd agree with that as well. On to the third match that we're going to look at. It's also on Wednesday evening, also televised. Liverpool against Chelsea, 8th against 9th in the Premier League. Liverpool are even money here. The draw is 13-5. Chelsea are 5-2. Daniel Sturridge to score in a Liverpool win is enhanced to 3-1 from 9-5. And Diego Costa to score in a Chelsea win is 6-1, enhanced from 4-1. Liverpool could take a step towards 7th spot should that become a Europa League place next season, providing, of course, they don't win the Europa League this season, which I personally think they will. But it gives them that added insurance to get back into Europe, I suppose, if they don't succeed in the Europa League final. And recently, Dave, it's become Fortress Anfield in a way. 12 without defeat in all competitions at home now for Liverpool. 7 in a row in the league without defeat. Chelsea have nothing at all to play for. They can't move any higher in the table than they are. They're going to be missing John Terry. They don't need to win. What? Liverpool even money, is that not a good price?
I think so. I think they'll win this game, Liverpool. And you said it's eighth versus ninth, but really it's top eight and then everyone else isn't this season because there's 10 points separating these two sides. And as you mentioned, since Jurgen Klopp took over, Liverpool have looked like a completely different team. Not only the results they're getting, the performances they're putting in as well. Again, even though he rested players against Watford at the weekend, they still won that game 2-0. They're becoming more solid with every week that goes by, Liverpool. And I think he'll play the full side here as well. I know they've got the Europa League final coming up against Sevilla, but that's a week on Wednesday. And I'd expect in their last game of the season against West Brom, he'll make wholesale changes in that match. This game, full throttle. Again, even though the atmosphere sometimes gets criticised for league games when you compare it at Anfield to a big European night, I think the crowd will be bang up for this one against Chelsea, who, even though Chelsea have gone through this slumber having won the league last season and they've made big changes and Antonio Conte is coming in the summer, Liverpool just look like the better of the two sides at the moment by a considerable margin. Chelsea, even though they had the lead against Sunderland, couldn't hang on at the weekend. There is nothing for them to play for. Eden Hazard's showing a little bit more spark now, isn't he? Played really well against Spurs when he came on. He's 11-4 to score any time. But I'm a lot of people are amused by the John Terry situation because second sending off of the season means that he misses last two games. So having missed a penalty to win the Champions League final, then missed out through suspension, in a Champions League final, they won and come on in the full kit, etc., etc., etc. Now his Chelsea career has ended with him walking sullenly off the pitch, having been sent off. So not a nice way for John Terry to finish his spell at Chelsea. I can't see them getting anything from this game. I think Liverpool will win and win comprehensively. Even money's okay. Look for early goals in this game as well. First goal of the game has been scored in the opening 10 minutes in 4 of the last 5 Premier League meetings between Liverpool and Chelsea. They tend to start quickly in these matches, and both teams to score is stick on, in my opinion. 4-7 it is, though. It's short, both teams to score. But Liverpool have failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 9 Premier League games against Chelsea. They've conceded 2 goals in each of their last 3 meetings at Anfield. Against Chelsea as well. And Chelsea have only kept 1 clean sheet in their last 11 Premier League games against Liverpool. I think both teams will score. I think Liverpool will win and both teams will score. And if you put those together, it's 13-5, over 2-1 for Liverpool to win and both to score. I think that's a really good bet.
Yeah, you can also play Liverpool to win another 2.5 goals at 17-10 on that same logic.
Yeah.
I just want to mention the timecast that we have on the site as well. Liverpool to score first and first goal up to and including the 30th minute, 17-10, providing you think Liverpool will get the first goal.
I'd be tempted to play both of those or have a look in play when the full goal markets come out. But Chelsea score first and first goal up to and including the 30th minute, 13-5, which is a decent bet. And if you want a Chelsea goal scorer, Diego Costa's finishing this season pretty strongly. He's 8-5 to score any time in this game. He's been involved in 14 goals now in his last 14 Premier League appearances, assisting 5 and scoring 9. So I think that's a worthwhile play. Diego Costa, who's had a mixed season, for him to score in this game, it is okay at 8-5.
Yeah. I've been looking maybe at Philippe Coutinho to score here. He's, a lot of what Liverpool do positively goes through him. And he scored a couple of goals against Chelsea last time they met, so he's got history against them. 21-10 score anytime.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
And I agree with what you're saying. I think they will play a full strength side for this game. Rest players at the weekend because he's got a week's rest.
That's the way he's worked it so far, Jurgen Klopp. I don't think there's any reason to desert that method.
No.
In the lead up to this game, I think he'll play his full strength side on Wednesday night, and then on Sunday he'll rest players ahead of that huge Europa League final on Wednesday, week on Wednesday.
Final game of the midweek is Norwich against Watford. Norwich are 4-5. The draw 23-10, and Watford are 4-1. Nathan Redmond to score for Norwich in a Norwich win is 4-1 from 14-5 on the enhanced odds. Odion Ighalo to score in a Watford win is 7-1, having been 11-2. That's the enhancement there. Norwich need to win this game, and they need Sunderland to lose to keep them in the hunt to stay in the Premier League. 4 straight defeats, though, for Norwich. All of them have been defeats to nil as well. They're not playing very well at the moment, and they've only won once at home in their last 9 games. We were talking earlier on how Sunderland's home form is keeping them in it. Norwich's home form is non-existent. They take on a Watford side who have nothing to play for. They're very safe. They've had a good season. Is that dangerous in terms of they've got a bit of freedom to do what they want?
Yeah, or
does it mean that they've got nothing on this game and Norwich need it more?
Norwich do need it more, obviously, but that's reflected wholeheartedly in the prices, isn't it? I mean, again, these prices are mad. 4-5 Norwich. Who would back Norwich at 4-5 to win a game in the Premier League given their recent run? I don't think anyone would. I'd be very surprised if they went off at 4-5. I think they will drift, Norwich. I'm not sure Sunderland will drift. I think Norwich definitely will. And 4-5 is bordering on madness. As you mentioned, they've been in poor form at home. You went through that home form, winning just 1 of their last 8 at Carrow Road. And Watford have got a good record travelling to Carrow Road as well, which is something else you can throw into the mix. They've won 4 of their last 6 road trips to Carrow Road, lost the other 2. But both these sides have had trouble scoring goals.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to consign Norwich City into the Championship next season. I mention this on almost every podcast we record on The Punt, but Diomercy Mbakani and Nathan Redmond are the team's top goal scorers, and they've only got 5 apiece. Whereas you look at a team like Sunderland, and they've had Jermaine Defoe, who's got into double digits.
Yeah.
You need that if you're going to stay in the Premier League. And Watford, fortunately, got that incredible run out of Odion Ighalo and Troy Deeney early on in the season. Ighalo has failed to score now in 12 Premier League matches.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he'd got 14 in 23. So his early goals, along with Troy Deeney's contribution, he's into double figures, have seen Watford into a position of safety in the Premier League, whereas Norwich cannot score. They've gone 4 without scoring, as you mentioned, and some of the teams they've been beaten by are teams you would expect them to at least have a sniff against. Crystal Palace got beat 1-0 away there when Crystal Palace were at their lowest ebb. Beaten 3-0 at home against Sunderland, which was a catastrophic result as far as the relegation battle is concerned. And they've actually failed to find the back of the net in a league-high 10 Premier League games in 2016. And that's more games than Watford and Aston Villa. They've only failed to score in 9 league games in the calendar year. Under 2.5 goals looks obvious here, doesn't it? But
yeah.
I think it's a worthwhile bet, 8-11. And you've got to be pro-Watford. Watford are 4-1 to win this game. I'll be having a double on the two outsiders, Watford and Everton, on Wednesday night. Watford 4-1 to win this game, which brings up the other markets. Watford +1 is 19-20, just a shade of odds on. You're getting 2 results, and you don't have to think or contemplate backing Norwich at 4-5 with those 2 results. And Watford draw no bet is 9-4. Pro Watford all the way for me in this match.
I agree. if you're Alex Neil, you must be, I was going to say pulling your hair out, but he doesn't have much hair. They beat Newcastle in that 3-2 game, end-to-end stuff, fantastic game. Oh, we've got a chance of staying up.
Yep.
They don't score a goal after that for the rest of the season, nearly. It's...
And you've got to feel sorry for Alex Neil, but I wonder whether his lack of experience in the top flight has been costly in the end, because I'm not saying that's the sole reason. They've not got the players in that squad either at Norwich, but Newcastle have had a fight back, haven't they, with since Rafa Benitez has come in. Sam Allardyce has an incredible amount of experience in saving clubs from relegation.
Yeah.
Alex Neil's in a dogfight for the first time here, and I think he's just been found out slightly. His team have been found out slightly, whereas Sunderland and Newcastle to a lesser extent. Sunderland with that incredible goal scoring run from Jermaine Defoe have managed to almost secure their survival. And Newcastle with a guy with a wealth of experience in Rafa Benitez have made a good fist of it as well, but look like they're going to come up just a little bit short. Alex Neil hasn't got that experience, and I think that's proved costly in the end.
Yeah. I'm just tempted by Watford to win to nil, because that's what they were doing earlier on in the season when they were picking up points.
Yeah.
We've just mentioned how bereft of goals Norwich are. It's 6-1, which is a tempting old price.
It is.
My slight concern will be that Norwich have to just throw absolutely everything at this game.
I just wonder whether it's big enough to justify when they are 4-1 to win the game. That couple of points boost in price, is that justified? But I understand what you're saying, because there's not masses of goals in this Watford team at the moment either. So if they are to win, maybe it's got to be 1 or 2 nil.
Yeah. Not worth the risk.
No,
is it?
I'll take the 4-1. I think on Watford to win. Norwich got to come out guns blazing, but if you to believe the bookmakers, Sunderland are already home and host against Everton at 8-11. But yeah, I'm pro Watford here. Pro Watford, pro Everton. I'm going with the two outsiders, two away days, and I'll play that in a double, I think, as well.
All right, good stuff, Dev. Thank you very much. Good luck. Enjoy it this midweek, and I'm guessing you'll be back on Friday.
I will. The final punt of the Premier League season. Looking forward to chatting with Derek McGovern. If he's not spent all his money on Everton yet, because he seems to back them or nap them every single week. He's had a great season on the nap, so I'm looking forward to that final Premier League punt of the season at the weekend.
Well, good stuff. Thank you very much for listening to this one. Tune in on Friday as well, and enjoy this week's football.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.